This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. So today we're looking at a really curious piece of source material. It's this narrative, almost like a storybook, about something called the giant acorn hunt.
Right. And it sounds whimsical, definitely. Oakwood Forest, animals, kids.
Exactly. But, you know, like always, we're not just here for the story itself. We want to dig into it and see if we can pull out some solid ideas, blueprints maybe, for how groups work, how strategy happens, even how resources get shared.
Precisely. Think of Oakwood less like a fairy tale and more like a mini ecosystem, a complex system facing a huge unexpected opportunity. And the real question is, how does this diverse sort of decentralized group get itself organized around this massive goal?
Yeah.
And fast.
And it all kicked off with this rumor, didn't it? Which then turned out to be true. The source spells out the prize. This huge, almost mythical golden acorn said it was as big as a pumpkin.
Yeah, a pumpkin-sized golden acorn. Imagine the buzz. But what's really crucial, I think, is how the goal was framed right from the start.
How so?
Well, it wasn't just find the acorn. The narrative mentions Oliver the owl hooting about becoming the hero of the harvest. So straight away, it's competitive. It's about status.
Ah, okay. So finding it meant individual glory.
Exactly. And that immediate internal competition, well, it actually lit a fire under everyone.
Yeah.
Sped up the whole search process, ironically.
Okay, so that pressure cooker environment gets things moving. But the way they actually went about it, this is where we get into our first big theme, right? The sheer diversity in how they form teams and their strategies.
Absolutely. Section one.
Yeah.
Diversity and strategy and team formation. The search parties were fascinating. A real mix. You had these adventurous kids, obviously, but also squirrels, raccoons.
Squeaky the mouse. Can't forget the tiny perspective.
Right. And Oliver the owl, sort of providing the aerial view. You had radically different ways of moving, seeing, thinking, all thrown into the mix immediately.
And their tactics were, well, unconventional doesn't quite cover it. The source gives these great little details, like the squirrels. Zipping about with tiny magnifying glasses.
Yeah. Which is funny, right? Using micro-inspection tools for this giant object.
It seems totally illogical.
Well, it raises that question, doesn't it? How do you balance all these different, maybe even slightly irrational approaches within a larger goal? The squirrels were doing what squirrels do best, looking closely at small things, but applying it to a massive problem.
Okay, so maybe it's not just inefficient. And then you had the raccoons putting cooking pots on their heads like helmets.
Which sounds silly, but it's a kind of very literal risk management, isn't it? They're preparing for, well, who knows what? Impact, maybe.
Huh, right. And the kids with their crayon maps stained with apple juice.
So if you look at those three,
you've
got the squirrels, maybe representing specialized skills, possibly misapplied. The raccoons showing this high, if slightly absurd, commitment to safety. And the kids, that's just chaotic creativity using whatever's at hand.
So the lesson isn't necessarily hire squirrels with magnifying glasses. It's more about valuing decentralized approaches, letting teams try things, even weird things.
I think so. A top-down approach might have just said, okay, owl, you fly high and look. And maybe missed crucial ground-level details the squirrels or even the kids with their messy maps might stumble upon.
So the sheer variety, even the absurdity, maximizes the chances of someone trying something completely different that actually works. It covers more ground conceptually.
Exactly. You kind of need both the magnifying glass team and the Apple Juice Map team. And they definitely needed that range of skills because the search quickly became more than just looking. It turned into a real quest with obstacles.
Right. Which brings us to section two. Actually navigating those problems. This wasn't just a race, it was complex.
They hit actual challenges that required thinking, working together, and sometimes just being patient.
Like the clues carved into tree trunks by woodpeckers. That's not just about finding, it's about deciphering.
That's the analytical part, right? You need someone who can read the language, maybe someone tall enough to see it clearly, someone else to argue about what it means. It forces those diverse teams to actually pool their knowledge.
And then the physical challenge. These leaf bridges described as wobbling like trampolines.
That's fascinating. It's less about brains and more about practical engineering and trust, I suppose. You can't just charge across something like that.
No, you'd all end up in a heap. It's like a real-world test of coordination under pressure.
Kind of like testing a tricky process, maybe. You need to figure out the capacity, the pacing, trust the person in front and behind you. It forces synchronicity. That wobble makes them slow down and act as one unit.
And then there's my favorite obstacle, which feels so true to real projects sometimes, the very bossy frog.
Ah, yes. The gatekeeper, holding back a crucial hint.
And what does he want? Not a bribe, not a complex answer to a riddle.
Three songs. He demands they stop everything and sing three songs before you'll help.
It's brilliant, because you can't argue with that. You can't outsmart it. You just have to do it.
It's a lesson in strategic patience, isn't it? And maybe dealing with, let's say, difficult stakeholders or bureaucratic hurdles. Sometimes the logical path is blocked and you have to meet this seemingly arbitrary demand.
And they're on the clock. The hero of the harvest title is waiting. But they have to stop the hunt and perform.
It really tests their adaptability. Can they switch gears from frantic searching to, well, charming a frog? It shows a level of emotional intelligence within the group. They recognize force wouldn't work.
And they did it. They got past the clues, the bridge, the frog, navigating all the, as the source says, giggles, tumbles, and teamwork. And then the climax.
They finally reached this clearing after this whole day of effort.
And there it is, the giant golden acorn shimmering in the sunset. The text says everyone gasped. You can feel that moment of, we did it.
The goal achieved. The potential hero identified, maybe. That individual triumph is right there.
And this is the absolute core of it, I think, the deepest lesson here. The story takes a sharp turn. Section three, the revelation of shared bounty and true value.
Yes, this is critical. The source is very clear. Nobody claimed it for themselves. Instead, the kids and animals, together, decided to roll this massive thing into the village square.
That single action changes everything. It flips the definition of success completely on its head.
Right. That moment of discovery, the potential for hoarding, it just evaporates. It's immediately replaced by this collective act. They understood, somehow, that its real value was in sharing it.
So what was actually inside it? Because if it was just solid gold...
That would be valuable, sure, but maybe divisive. Temporary wealth? But no. They crack it open, and it reveals an endless supply of regular acorns.
Endless.
Well, functionally endless for their needs. Enough food for every single creature for the entire winter.
Wow. So it wasn't capital they found. It was sustainability, a renewable resource.
Exactly. The ultimate economic foundation for that whole forest community. They basically traded that individual hero status for collective survival and security.
So the hero of the harvest wasn't the finder anymore. It became the entire group that assured everyone made it through the winter. The prize wasn't wealth. It was security.
And it goes even further. The physical object itself, the golden shell. What happened to that?
Right. It wasn't just discarded. It wasn't treated like scrap from the main prize.
No, they repurposed it immediately, turned it into infrastructure.
A playground slide for the kids and a lookout tower for the squirrels.
Think about that. The container, the symbol of the original quest and desire, becomes a permanent shared community asset.
That's fascinating. If you compare that to, say, a company finding its golden acorn, a huge breakthrough, a patent, whatever, often the instinct is to maximize private return, right? Keep it tight.
But here, in Oakwood, they implicitly said, the contents ensure our survival, yes, but the achievement itself, the shell, the asset, must become public infrastructure, something functional for everyone.
The slide brings joy, activity. The tower brings safety, foresight. These are tangible benefits, dividends paid out to the whole community from that collaborative effort.
It cements the value of working together. The find was the trigger, but the infrastructure is the lasting legacy, is the difference between just getting rich and actually building capacity for the future.
That original goal, individual status, just got completely washed away by this much bigger collective outcome. The shell, once this object everyone wanted, becomes this functional thing owned by nobody, but used by everybody.
Which really underlines that explicit lesson the source gives us. True treasure is not just what you find, it's what you share.
Finding it was step one, necessary. But the sharing, the transformation of the shell, that's what gave it lasting meaning.
Absolutely. And the relevance for us, for you listening, it's pretty direct, I think. Whether you're leading a project, launching something new, making a discovery, you might find your own golden acorn. This story gives a potential model for what happens next.
So distilling it down, we saw the power of diverse, maybe even silly strategies coming from everywhere. We saw the need for problem solving, but also that strategic patience dealing with the bossy frog.
And ultimately, the real measure of success wasn't the individual win, but how the discovery was distributed and turned into something lasting for the community.
The discovery relied on individual efforts, sure. Moments of brilliance, perhaps. But the real value emerged when that single object transformed into those permanent shared assets, the slide, the tower.
Which leaves us with that final thought to chew on.
Yeah. What does it actually mean for us today if we consciously choose to turn our biggest wins, our breakthroughs, our golden acorns into shared infrastructure, into public good, instead of just hoarding them for private gain?
That shift from private triumph to essentially community capacity building. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the real genius we can learn from the giant acorn hunt.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.